get your films on with the Blurs.
Once an idea has taken hold of the brain, it's almost impossible to eradicate.
Unpacking Movies has never been more spot on, woke, fire, and just plain lit.
They are lit all the time.
So if you're unsure whether or not to plop down some cash for a film, check out the Blurs.
When a man with a 45 meets a man with a rifle, the man with a pistol is a dead man.
Rondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
You really only need to hang, mean bastard. But mean bastards, you need to hang.
Don't say you weren't warned. Ridiculous. Here's Brandon and Jeff.
Hello and welcome to episode 68, a very special episode of the Film Blurs. My name is Brandon Norwood, aka Hero Protagonist, aka the true father of Joe's kids and the true father of Kanye's kids. Thanks for the 200K a month, Kanye. I'm living nice, nigga.
That's a lot of sneakers.
That's a lot of Yeezys. McMansion, nigga. I'm living in a McMansion because of that shit.
That's a lot of Yeezys.
I wear them shits as house shoes.
they're ugly as fuck. They are ugly as fuck.
Exactly. Y'all spent $500 on shoes that I use as house shoes. I kicked them shoes off, got grass all over them and shit. I don't give a fuck. AKA Poppy Chulo. AKA the Glizzy Gang, AKA Mr. Krusty, AKA the Lethal Protector, AKA my biggest pet peeve is sports because I don't like seeing grown men sweat on each other, AKA I want a Subaru Outback with mad strippers in the back giving shape ups, AKA Ruff McGruff, AKA oh, I'm saving the Navi with these nuts, AKA B Wood the Magnificent. And I'm joined here today, as always, by my friend and co-host.
Yo, it's Jeff Stewart, a.k.a. Uncle Jeffrey, a.k.a. J. Otis Dynamite, a.k.a. Revengeman Button, a.k.a. He Who Remains, a.k.a. Perry Ruxpin, a.k.a. Jobu Tupaki, a.k.a. This Motherfucker, a.k.a. To Be Determined, a.k.a. The Black Giovanni Ribisi.
All right. Well, we are giving you a Avatar only episode because we're dropping two episodes this week. And you'll see why with our next episode. But Avatar the Way of Water. Let's just start off. We're going to start off with non-spoilers. Then we'll get into some stuff that may be spoilers. We ain't going to spoil shit because right. Disney got the snipers trained on us. But we'll talk about the movie. So we're going to give you our initial thoughts and reactions before we do as deep of a dive as we can.
Let me just start off by saying, God damn.
Yeah, you guys heard before. Me and Jeff don't really fuck with that first movie. This movie, though, like within the first 5 minutes, I was just like, nigga.
Right. Yo, I wanted to walk out of the theater and be like, nigga. Yeah, yeah, and go back into the theater. Yo. James Cameron has been big dicking us for the last year talking about blah blah blah. It's the greatest movie ever. James Cameron is the Muhammad Ali of fucking filmmakers, right? Right? And we were like, all right, James, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good, but it's not gonna be that good. And then I walked out and was like, oh, that wasn't hyperbole. That was okay, James. Mr. Cameron, respect on your name. Jesus Christ.
This movie cost, I think they said, $350 to $400 million. This is the most expensive movie ever made. And I just want to say, every dollar is up on that screen, and this motherfucker lost his fucking mind. Like, this nigga was like, oh, word? All right. And just went fucking ham. Like, James Cameron was just like, I'm going to remind you why I'm James Cameron and why I'm the king of blockbusters.
So, like, the first thing I noticed when I started watching this, these motherfuckers have pores now.
Yeah, dog, that's what I'm saying. The skin. Like, when we reviewed the trailer over the summer, I was like, how do these motherfuckers have actual skin?
Yo, they have pores and wrinkles and shit like that. The first
Yeah, because Jake and Neytiri, this is like a decade and a half later after the first movie, and these motherfuckers have bags under their eyes. I was like, what the fuck?
Yo, so like the first 5 minutes of when we're being reintroduced to Na'vi or Pandora, I'm like swatting at the air and like, I was like, what the fuck is floating in front of me? Oh shit, they put fucking nits. They fucking put gnats and insects in 3D. It's like, oh shit. Yo, what the fuck?
Yeah, because, you know, everybody was talking mad shit about the first one. Like, oh, this is a game changer. This is going to completely change cinema. Nah, this is the movie that's going to change cinema. Just because I'm just like, yo, listen, Marvel is the king of the roost, but, like, it is night and day. Even from the first movie. When you watch the first movie and watch this one, it is,
it's a better movie.
It's like a whole two generations leap forward.
Like it's a better movie on every single level category, but it's not just like a little better. It's like it's a different movie. That's how much better this one is than the first one. It's like it's like he remade his own fucking movie. Yeah.
Yo, fucking, I love the first like 5-10 minutes when you're being reintroduced, because you're seeing the this family thrive. And not only that, but the motion, the capture in the faces, and this is not only in the first 5 minutes, but throughout the movie, these motherfuckers are emoting. And that's how it pulled me in, is like, oh, these are actual like characters now, not just like CG models. Like, these motherfuckers are emoting. They have actual pathos. You know what I'm saying?
Look, I didn't give a fuck about the characters in the first movie. Watching this, I fucking care. I care a lot. Right? And, you know, when I first started watching this movie, I'm like, how the fuck am I going to tell? Like, they all look like fucking tall blue aliens. How the fuck am I going to tell them apart? Fucking 30 minutes in, I'm like, each one has a different personality. Each one looks different. Each one speaks and moves different. They are entities.
I was surprised that in the first 5 minutes or the first 10 or 20 minutes, we saw a baby Na'vi dick. I was like, bro, this is PG-13. You can't be showing baby dick. And then you see Sigourney Weaver's avatar from the first movie floating in a tank and her tits are out. And I'm like, oh, bro, word? I was like, bro, this is PG-13, nigga.
Like, James Cameron probably had to blackmail someone to get a PG-13 rating, because like that last hour and a half.
Oh, right? Yeah, that shit is violent as fuck.
Yo, that is hard as fuck.
And now, you know, now that we're on that topic, the third act of this movie is fucking godly. Like, I don't even want to say what it is. Yo, because it is. Like, this is why I only watch one trailer. Like, I was so glad, because that night after I saw it, I went home and watched both trailers, and I was like, thank God I only saw this first trailer, because that first trailer gives nothing away. And that third act, if you've only seen that first trailer, holy shit. There's parts of it where I was just giggling like a little girl, like, and there's a part where like a nigga's arm flies off, yo, and I hit my boy next to me, and I'm just like, yo.
Yo, that motherfucker had it coming. That motherfucker had it coming, though. Oh, my God. Yo,
listen. The humans are pieces of shit in the first movie. Like, I don't like them at all. But in this one, I'm like, yo, y'all motherfuckers are just straight evil, bro.
Right. So, like, I was thinking about this leaving the theater. James Cameron really doesn't like white people.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
Or better. Yeah. He really does not fuck with colonization.
Oh, yeah. There's two things James Cameron seems to hate. That's colonization and the military and the government. Because think about it, aliens, all those Marines are portrayed as fucking dumb as shit, and they all die except for Hicks.
Right.
And now
right. This
one, they're evil pieces of shit.
Yo, like, it wasn't even funny how evil these the sky people were in this. You know? Oh man. Like, they bring back the we're not going to talk. Is it a spoiler?
Well, we'll save that for once we get to the like the 10-12 minute point. That's when we'll start really diving deep.
All right.
But yeah, like the Sky people are fucking, they're evil. And like, in the first 5 minutes, you see the Na'vi all happy and shit. And you're just like, man, I don't want this to ever end. Like, I could have watched the whole movie of them like frolicking in the grass and shit. And well, then
let's talk about that, though. Like that middle, that second act where it's just fucking blue niggas hanging out in the ocean. I forgot I was watching a movie. I thought I was living that shit. I was like, Yo, this is nice, man. I want to be here. Like
there's parts of that movie. There's like every 5 or 10 minutes, there's a part of it that you could literally reach out and it's almost like you could feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like right. That shit is, it is, I can't tell, like, if you're, first off, see this movie. Second of all, see it in 3D. Like, there's other way to see it.
See it in 3D. See it as loud and as big as you can.
Nigga, like, I know people, we've talked about this before. I don't like high frame rate. The only time high frame rate has worked for me was Billy Lynn. In this movie, I was just like, whenever it wasn't high frame rate, it looked so much smoother, so much more realistic. It's the only time where I've seen high frame rate where I was just like, okay, I get it.
Right, right. The thing is, because they didn't use, because Cameron didn't use high frame rate throughout the whole entire fucking movie. He didn't even use it throughout the whole entire battle sequence. Right?
Right, right.
It was selective, right?
Right.
And you could tell when it kicked in, and it was like, what the fuck? Why is my skin, like, why is the hairs on my arm raising? Right?
Yeah. Well, anything that's moving fast or any action that's fast, that's when it goes to high frame rate. And that, I'm telling you guys, that shit is smooth as fuck. Like, it, I was just like, dog, this shit looks a little too real. When it went to high frame rate, right. I was just like, what the fuck, nigga?
Yeah, yeah. But like, and let's talk about the character design, right? So like, there's the, yeah, in the first Avatar, it was the forest people. And now we get to introduce to the sea people. And even they are distinct. I mean, they're obviously, you know, fucking Polynesian Maori you know, people right there. But even their physicality are the character design is so interesting because Cameron thought about like, okay, if you're going to be a seafaring people, you're going to adapt physically to being in the ocean. So they have like bigger arms with almost fins on fins. Them, right? Yeah. Their tails are flatter so they can navigate through the water. Every part of this fucking movie was thought about.
Well, their complexion's much lighter too. Like Jake and his family, they're forest people, so they're much darker, dark blue. The water people, they're a light blue. It's a clear difference. And their complexion, like their eyes are bigger, but they look more human, whereas the Sullies, they're much more cat-like, and this one is a cross between, it seems more human than Jake and his family.
Right, right, because they have to adapt to looking like being underwater and seeing underwater and shit like that. It's like, oh my God, every fucking thing, every little detail. There's shit I'm probably missing because I was so in awe of this experience, and it is an experience, right?
This is like going to Disney World. Like that's the best way I could put it. It's like if Disney World's wild expensive right now. So you might as well just like be like, all right, kids, we're going to go spend 3 hours on Pandora. And trust me, if your kids are getting on your nerve, your wife's like, why aren't you helping me? And you listen to your in-laws talk about fucking all types of fucking shit that's kind of problematic. You get them out of the house. You take them to Pandora for 3 hours and 10 minutes. And then I guarantee you for like the next day and a half, you'll have some peace.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, in the middle of the movie is just them just swimming around, looking at nature and shit like that. I'm like, I forgot I was watching a movie.
You know how much better this movie is? Even the weekend, James Cameron got the weekend. So like, let's clap to that. Shout out for James Cameron getting the weekend.
Right.
Second off. The Weeknd song is much better than the fucking song in the first movie.
I can't remember who did the first song in the first movie. Was that Celine Dion?
Who gives a shit? Oh, who knows? Yeah. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, right.
My thing is, it's a minute. It's like a minute and a half, so it's short. Like James Cameron understands, like, oh yeah, we don't need long. Like,
You don't need an anthem. You just like, all right, here's the Weeknd for you guys.
You know, and like sit through the first part of the credits, because that nature reel over the first part of the credits, especially that last shot, I was just like, oh shit, that last shot is hard.
Yeah, and don't worry. Once you get past that you know, that montage at the end, you stay to see all the people that worked on it, but you don't have to worry about some bullshit like post credit scene.
So before we get into spoilers, I'll give you my final thoughts now, which is definitely go see it. See it in 3D. It's definitely way too long. Like, there's parts of this where I was just like, nigga, this shit could have been shorter. And the only other thing I have a problem with is there's a little too much setup for the next movies. Because there's shit that's in here that's never explained where I'm like, oh, okay, this is for 3 or this is for 4.
You know what? Like, my thoughts on it are, like, I give you that it's long, but the length didn't bother me. Yes, there are things that could have been cut out, but I actually didn't want them to be cut out. Like, I didn't want, like, once I was locked in, and I didn't actually want the movie to end. So it could have been fucking longer for all I fucking cared. And also, like, I know there's a lot of setup for 3. Like, the end of 2 is a setup for 3, but like, I really want to see 3. Like, with
for
Avatar 1, I was like, if this never happens, if I never see this again, if they never do a sequel, all right, it's fine.
This one, I'm like,
like, when is 3 coming out? Like, when is 3 coming out?
Well, before we move into spoilers, let's talk about the sequels, because I ever since I saw this movie, I've been watching interviews and all types of shit, just because I'm just like, dog, I want to know shit. The cast has straight up said, like, Zoe Saldana was like, 2 is just a setup for 3, and 3 is my favorite out of all of them. She's like, 3 is such a much better movie. And then Sigourney Weaver chimed in. She's like, I think 4 is better. 4 is going to be crazy insane. And everybody's like, I think 4 is the one that's going to blow people away. And she's like, 5 is just an ending. 5 is like a it completes the journey. But I think 4. And everybody's like, 4. And then I read what James Cameron said. And James Cameron was like, I sent the studio the script for 2. I got back 3 pages of notes. Sent the studio the script for 3. Got back a page and a half of notes. Sent the script for 4. And all I got back was an email from the executive saying, what the fuck? How are you going to pull this off? And that's what he keeps saying. He's like, 4 is going to be a whopper. He's like, 4 is going to be the hardest movie I ever make. He's like, I cannot wait to get to 5 just because we're over the hump of 4.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm just like, what the fuck is 4? Because watching this, I was like, if somebody was like, yo, Brandon, read the script for Avatar 2, and I'd read it and be like, yo, would you be interested in directing? I'd be like, fuck no. Are you kidding me? I was like, there's just so much in this where I'm just like, I could not handle it.
And here's the thing. James Cameron has always been the king of sequels. You know, Terminator was a good movie. Terminator 2 was a great movie.
Masterpiece. Right? Yeah, that's a masterpiece.
Right. And we differ on Aliens, but I think Aliens is far superior than Alien. Right.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, because there's a lot of look. That's the greatest debate in film history, is Alien versus Aliens. And like, nobody's wrong there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. But like, Cameron gets sequels because he understands that everything has to be better. Like, it just can't be serviceable, right?
Right.
It's got to be better.
Right.
And not, like, it's significantly better, right? You look at Terminator versus Terminator 2, it's like Avatar versus Avatar 2. it's almost a different fucking movie. It just happens to have the same characters in it. Yeah. Right? It is so far and beyond what the original did. So if Cameron is sequelizing Cameron, I can only imagine what 3's going to be and then what 4's going to be. You know, right. I can only fucking imagine. Right?
Because walking out of this, I was just like, you know, I didn't get it before, but I get it now, because James Cameron said he's only going to do Avatar movies till he dies. And I get it. You know why? It's an original property.
Right.
He doesn't have to, you know, pay homage to fan service or answer to the fans. He could do whatever the fuck he want. You could be as creative as you want. And this universe is so big that now we can go to other planets, which is going to happen. Like they already said, like they're going to Earth.
Right. Right. So
which is crazy. It's going to be reverse colonization where the Na'vi invade Earth.
You know, you got to play offense sometimes, baby. Sometimes you got to play offense.
I'm going to say this once. I'm like, yo, listen, don't start shit. Sometimes you got to know when to walk away. Like it's like in Dune. Where, I have the analogy, like Dune and the bar, and my boy at the bar. My boy was at a bar, and some dude says some shit to him. I'm just like, yo, let it go, man. Let's enjoy the night. He's like, nah. I was like, nigga, I'm not going to back you up. And I looked at them. They're like, our other friends were like, I don't know. We kind of agree with him. And the nigga went over there, and I was like, told you should have left it alone, because now you got a broken fucking arm. Like, sometimes just leave shit alone.
Right.
That's like with Dune. Where at the end of the movie, fucking Stilgar's like, you know, let it be. Let this little nigga live. And then what happened? He killed him. He told him, like, hey, you know, let it be.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta let shit be.
Sometimes you just gotta walk away. You know, it's not worth the static.
Speaking of, before we get into spoilers, this was in the back of my mind the whole time I'm watching this movie. I was like, if James Cameron can get this much money and do this for Avatar 2, I can only imagine what Denny's going to do with Dune Part 2. Not because he's getting more money, but because he has more resources.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, this nigga has more resources, and like the uphill battle to get people interested is done.
Right. Right. You know, like talking thoughts and shit like that. I was thinking about that this morning. James Cameron did a better Wakanda Forever.
Yes. Yeah.
Ryan, like I love you, Ryan Coogler. We love you, man. But like, this is what fucking Wakanda Forever should have been.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's only so much I can blame Ryan Coogler, so much I can blame Sam Raimi, and only so much I can blame Taika Waititi, because Marvel's a machine, and that machine's controlled by one person, and it's very apparent now that the machine needs to fucking change, and this person needs to be a little bit more hands-off.
Hey, you got to change the operating system.
We got a Sam Raimi Doctor Strange movie, a Taika Waititi Thor movie, and a Ryan Coogler Black Panther sequel, and you're trying to tell me not a single one of those, you know,
is a game changer, is a hitter, right. You know?
Right. Right. And for, I'll speak about in the next episode, I rewatched Spider-Man 2, because again, I bought that 4K set, and I'm just like, I got mad watching Spider-Man 2, because I'm like, yo, every single frame, every single line of dialogue, every joke, every heartfelt moment, every Dutch angle is Sam fucking Raimi.
And like, here's the thing. You hire these directors who have vision, right? Who have a style, right? Because they have a vision and a style. And then you take it away from them. You take away their ability to do what got you interested in the first place, right? You know, I know right now, feel it in my bones, Taika would have fucking done Thor like a documentary. He would have done it like fucking What We Do in the Shadows, and it would have been amazing, right? Right. You know, Sam Raimi would have just done Evil Dead 4 with Multiverse of Madness. He would have done it. It would have been a pretty much a sequel to Army of Darkness, right?
Yo, dude, because I mean, I forgot all about it, but the fucking shit with Doc Ock when they're trying to when he's in the hospital and they're trying to take the arms off of him, I was just like, yo, you cannot tell me that people are saying Sam Raimi snapped in Multiverse of Madness when his fingerprints is on every fucking frame of Spider-Man 2. Like, come on, man. That sequence in the hospital, I was like, this is straight Evil Dead shit.
Right.
And it works.
Right, right.
It is terrifying. I forgot about that shit. I was like, this shit is legit terrifying.
Right. And Ryan, and like, talk about like Ryan Coogler, since I mentioned all three of these. Ryan Coogler, if he had been allowed to do exactly what he wanted to do, we would have gotten the passion and the nuance of Fruitvale Station mixed with the action of fucking Creed. You know?
Yeah, man, because like we talked about before, that first movie is a Ryan Coogler movie up until that third act, because he had gone on record and said, like, I had a different third act. I wanted to do mostly practical, and they said no. And that's why we got the CG. I mean, it still works. It's still good. Right. But it's CG.
It didn't feel like the same movie.
Yes.
Right. So hopefully... off Marvel, but like hopefully there's a sea change over there. But like,
well, no, let's stay on that shit for a minute, because I'm tired of this shit. Like I just said, I've been watching interviews and all these clips from the junket tour. I'm tired of all you guys who get to talk to Sam Raimi and all these legendary directors and just say, oh, but what do you think about Marvel and DC? Would you do a Marvel and DC movie? I'm like, you know, these motherfuckers could give two shits less. James right. Cameron has all the money in the world and now his own fucking franchise to literally lose his mind and show us why those movies are bullshit.
Right.
Stop asking them.
Right. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. It's an example of how just dumb journalism has become.
Yes, you know, in general, it's all clickbait now.
And lazy. Yeah, like,
yes.
of course you're going to ask them about Marvel movie. That's the obvious question. There are going to be 15,000 other motherfuckers asking them about a Marvel movie, right?
And that's why fucking Emily Blunt flipped out on the press tour for A Quiet Place Part 2, where she flipped out on the one dude. She's like, yeah, you and fucking 15 other people just asked me. I don't know. Is there something you guys know that I don't?
Right? Like, why don't you ask them an interesting question? It's like, hey, would you ever remake a Kurosawa film? Right? Would you ever remake one of your own films? Knowing what you know now.
James Cameron, I just saw a 3 hour and 10 minute movie. I have questions on questions on questions, bro. Especially just on this franchise and where we started and where it's going. I'm not bringing up no fucking Marvel or DC shit.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry.
I'm asking him where he's been, where he's going, and how he got here. I don't give a fuck about some hypothetical shit that he's never going to do.
Oh, yeah. Why? Shits on Marvel and DC. He even said, he's like, you saw the movie. It's night and day between what we're doing here and fucking Thanos. And I'm like, yeah, it's night and day, nigga. It's not even close.
Right. Yeah. Like, of course, you would like to see what one of these auteurs would do with one of these comic book properties. But here's the thing. It has been proven that they won't be able to do what they want to do. So why ask them the question?
Listen, that question was done once we saw Sam Raimi's Multiverse of Madness.
Right.
Like, there's parts of that movie where I'm like, oh, this is Raimi and he got to shine. But most of that shit is just Marvel.
Right. It should have been a horror. Like, it should have been a horror movie. It should have been fucking just, it should have been a Sam Raimi movie. It should have been a Spook-a-Blast, gore, balls out, fucking weird ass movie. That's why I was so excited about that shit when it was announced that Raimi was directing the new Doctor Strange. I was like, oh shit. Fuck. Yo, Sam Raimi is doing Doctor Strange? He's doing a fucking Marvel, the like one of the weirdest Marvel's movies, you know, supposedly, you know. He's going to fucking lose his mind. And then we got what we got.
And it's very clear why Scott Derrickson's like, yeah, I'm out.
Right. Right. So, like, it, don't ever, like, if any, so I will be able to now tell who is an actual journalist over someone who just happened to fall into a blog or, like, just is very good with TikTok. If you ask another direct, if you ask a director if they would do a comic book movie, then you're out of here. Then I got no respect for you.
You know what? Ask a director if they're going to do a big budget blockbuster, because we've gotten some blockbusters this year. Top Gun, this fucking The Northman, where you're just like, it doesn't have to be a fucking comic book. We could make big budget shit and it could be fucking dope.
Right. This year, even fucking Michael Bay stepped his game up. Right.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Like, people don't talk about, and I'm people clown me for the way I say this, but I don't give a fuck. People don't talk about Ambulance nearly enough.
Yo, that is an anti-cop movie too, because I rewatched it recently. I was like, oh, this shit hates cops.
Right. Right. And it's just like, fuck, there can be interesting big budget movies out there. And fuck, Ambulance wasn't even a big budget movie. He did it for fucking, what, 40?
40.
40? So, like,
and there's more action and more craft in that motherfucker than there was in Multiverse of Madness.
Right? So, like, think about that. The dude who gave us jive talking robots in the Transformers movies, right? Like, even he was able to put some art in his game. So, like, right. you got no excuse. You got no excuse.
All right. Well, let's move into some semi-spoilers.
Spoilers. Spoilers. Spoilers.
As we said before, like, I had fun just watching them frolic and dance around in the forest of Pandora. And, like, honestly, I could have watched the whole movie of that. And then my heart sank. And this is where I knew I was invested. My heart sank when them spaceships showed up and they're like, right? The sky people came back. And it hurts, man. It hurts when they show up because they just fucking decimate
portions
of Pandora.
It's not even like they land on Pandora and try to, like, be respectful, right? And try to find a clear area or whatever like that for a landing zone. No. These motherfuckers come in and James Cameron loves fucking nuclear fire, right? Because, like,
that shit is apocalyptic.
Yo.
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 Because you feel the threat. Because once they land and the doors open, like, I hated the mobile suits in the first one. And when I saw the mobile suits and it was like the silhouette of like 20 of them walking out with those guns, I'm like, oh, y'all niggas are fucked. I was just like, my first thought, I was like, oh, y'all are fucked.
I mean, fucking, he did, like, Cameron and this shot, he did fucking Space Apocalypse Now. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That shot with everything. Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole movie, because fucking the villain is kind of like Colonel Kurtz.
Yeah, 100%. Because, like, all right, that was one of my problems. Like, I got two problems with this.
All right, Sam.
With this movie, I keep Quagmire. What the fuck is the general's name? The colonel's name?
Oh, Quaritch.
Quaritch. Right.
I think they should have held off on bringing him back till 3 or 4.
No, I like that they brought him back. But here's the thing: he was only after Jake Sully,
right?
Right. Like, his whole entire mandate was the insurgency. Right. The insurgency didn't stop just because Jake Sully went on the run, right? So wouldn't his most important mission directive be to stop the insurgency instead of going after Jake Sully?
I get what they're doing. They're trying to cut off the head of the snake and like...
Right, but he gave up the mantle.
He's trying to destabilize, you know what I mean? Because we don't know that. The new character who takes over, we don't know. Right. We don't know that dude. But Jake's a leader. Jake knows how they work. He was a human. They're trying to destabilize. And look, think about it. That motherfucker united all the clans on Pandora. We've only met two clans so far over the course of two movies. So there's still other clans we have yet to meet.
Well, I mean, we're going to get to that in three, him unifying all of them. And my other problem with this was during that the third act, after the sea people, you know, nut up and go ham on the whaling ship.
The fucking fortress, the sea fortress.
Sea fortress.
Shit's nuts.
Right. Where did they all go?
What, the sea people?
Yeah, like, all right, so...
They fell back.
Yeah, but why'd they fall back? Oh, they should have just...
That's a spoiler.
What? We're in spoiler territory now.
I don't want to get that deep into spoilers. Okay, all right. That makes sense. My thing is, it did get a little repetitive with the kids keep getting captured. I'm like, God damn. Like,
right? Yes.
I was like, God damn, like, yo, stop. But, that felt like we were dragging out the runtime. I'm like, yo, you don't have to have these niggas keep getting captured.
But, I mean, it was kind of cute that the little girl mentioned it. It's like, I got captured again.
Before we move back to the second and third acts, the first act, what I really love, too, is how at a point it became a Western where it's just like, oh, the Indians take the cowboys, where like these motherfuckers are blowing up convoys and just stealing all their shit and straight up just blowing them out of the sky with their own shit. I was like, yo, this is hard. That's what I hope 3 and 4 are, is just them just fucking.
It's just going to be wild, man. It's going to be fucking wild. It's going to be like fucking 6 hours of just fucking battle shit.
Like, I want to see a Pandora Western where like the Indians take the fort. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can't wait to see the desert people, because you know there's a desert people out there.
Oh,
riding on
giant horse. How many ecosystems have we seen? We've seen the forest and the ocean, and that's it. There's still a whole fucking planet.
I can't wait for the Arctic motherfuckers. Like, it's going to get wild.
And then going off planet, because you know we're going off planet. We're going to explore like some moons and shit like that. But yeah, that shit was cool. And that was also the first time I got pissed off. I was like, yo, listen to your fucking father. Why are you going to go? Like, then he said, like, yo, make sure to let us know when these motherfuckers are coming so we don't get shot up.
Right. Let's get down there. Yo, let's see. Like, you're on Overwatch, motherfucker. You watch over. That's your job.
Yo, listen, if somebody told me, yo, hang back and let us know when people are coming, I'd be like, you don't got to tell me twice.
Right. but yeah, the middle child, the problem child.
God damn,
he's a fuck up, but he made good at the end. But let's talk about that when we first see Blue Team in action at that hub. For the first act, right, when they first try to kidnap the kids.
Oh, yeah, that shit was hard.
Yo, that shit was hard as fuck.
But I got scared. Like, my heart was pounding out my chest. Right. I'm like, yo, they're going to really kill these fucking kids, bro.
Yeah.
And I wasn't trying. I don't care if they're aliens or not. I'm not trying to see fucking kids get killed, especially a little girl who was, like, screaming her head off.
Yo, like, and like, here's another thing that I hated. Stop bringing this little kid around, like, along. Like, just like why?
She's like six. She's like, 6 years old. Y'all bringing her in the fucking the two brothers should know better. I was like, yo, y'all are grown ass teenagers.
Even Kitty should have known better, right? Is like,
well, she's She's on some next level shit. She's on. She's like the Erykah Badu of the Na'vi. And I don't want to get too much into her character just because there's a lot going on with her character that's right. set up that's obviously going to be paid off.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say anything about her because she's obviously connected to blank.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it's obvious what they were doing.
Right. I don't know why they didn't just come out and say it. I'm like, yo, y'all pointed it there anyway. Like,
right. I mean, and that honestly is one of the things that rewatching the first one will help inform you to what's going on with her.
Yeah. Get familiar with AWA because AWA is very important.
Right, but if you watch the first one and you watch the end, particularly towards the end, you'll start to connect the dots of what's going on with Kitty. But yeah, that first battle scene, not the first battle scene, but like when we first see Blue Team in action, it was tense as shit.
We might as well, because this is the beginning of the movie. We might as well say this. This is how badass Jake and Neytiri are. All five of their kids were in trouble, and they just swooped in that motherfucker on some Splinter Cell shit, like some Metal Gear Solid, like on some Metal Gear Solid shit, and was just like, down, you're down, and just scooped up their kids and was like, let's get the fuck out of here.
They were literally the Predator, right?
Yeah.
They were literally the Predator with this shit.
Like Jake was on some straight solid snake shit.
Like when he came up to that motherfucker with the axe.
And got him from behind, like the dude turned around and just like, blah. I was like, yo.
Yo. Fucking, like, even the action sequences in this movie are far superior than the first one.
The stakes are there, man. Like, the stakes are, like, set up at the beginning. Like, yo, you're about to... These kids are in jeopardy the entire movie, and you do not want to see these kids get hurt.
Right. And let's talk about, like, the main adversary, Quaritch. He died in the first one, right?
Right.
And, you know, they bring him back. I mean...
You'll see how and why. It's pretty cool.
It is really cool. Like when I first thought about like how are they going to bring him back, I was like, all right, this seems kind of cheap. But the way they do it makes sense. It makes sense. And his relationship with Spider.
Oh, don't. Let's leave it at that.
But they tell you that in the first fucking half hour.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's something where I didn't know, and that was cool seeing that in the movie.
Right.
So we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. But you kind of almost. I don't want to say you feel bad for Quaritch. But you feel something more for him than him just being your boilerplate bad guy.
Right.
You know? Because I thought this was going to go a different way with those guys. You know?
I did too. I think you can see his arc start to form of what's going to be over the course of the next few movies. Like, he's still going to be a bad guy. But I have a feeling it's going to be less and less as we move on, just because we said already the humans come back. The humans have really like colonized Pandora more in this one than they have in the first one. Like the shit is it's bad. Like these motherfuckers have a huge uphill battle.
Right. But like
even the exosuits are cooler in this one than they are in the first one, because even the exosuits are upgraded. And I was like, this is that's the character design and the design of these suits that I wanted from the first one.
Right. I mean, they didn't come to play. With this one and the water teams, the whaling ships.
That's fucking brutal. Yo. That shit was brutal. I was just like, I don't like whaling in real life. So like seeing this shit on some alien, I was just like, dog, what the fuck.
Right. But like, I do like Quaritch and Blue Team. I do like them as the main adversary through all of this. But that kind of also takes away their stakes, you know?
How so?
Because, like, okay, so they're, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, you know? But, like, they're kind of on some immortal shit.
I see what you're saying, I feel like that's a one-time deal, because in the first one, they do say, like, how expensive that shit is.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. All right. Fair enough. And
also, would you bet on the same nigga, like, three times if he failed the first two?
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Right, but he's got fucking experience, man. He's got more confirmed kills. That was something that, like, struck me. It's like, it's kind of took away the stakes for the bad guys, but I'll let that slide.
Yo, because speaking of the second act, that's where I thought for me the movie really slowed down. It's like, I really liked. Because that scene where he first is introduced to the whale, that's the scene I saw during the re-release in high frame rate.
Really?
So after that scene, the movie really slows down after that, because now you're dealing with another 20 minutes of him getting friendly with this whale. And I'm like, you mean, they're already cool, man. We don't need more. And then they have to explain why and this and that. And I'm just like,
And I see what you're saying there, right? Any other movie, I would have said, cut 20 minutes out of this.
Right.
This is where you cut right here. Like, this is where you do your surgery. But because I was just so enamored with what Cameron did visually and emotionally, you know, like just the feeling.
Because when they start hunting for Jake and they start really fucking with the other water tribes, even the other Marines were like, yo, we really going to do this? Like, they looked at him like, yo, like, nigga, we really going to execute these motherfuckers?
Well, so, yo, he's trying to win. He's trying to win. But, yeah, so, like, I totally see what you're saying, that it. Any other movie, I would have said, this is where the movie lost me. This is where it would drag. But because it's such a spectacle, right? Like I said, when I said I forgot I was watching a movie, I forgot I was watching a movie during that second act, right? Because it's literally it's sort of story, but it's not story. It's sort of watching like a documentary at that point. Or some like Discovery Channel or, you know, Animal Planet shit. And I was here for it because it was just so well executed. I don't know how I would feel on a second watch. Right.
Oh, I cannot wait to see this shit again, to be honest with you.
Yo, yeah. Like, I don't know how I will feel about that second act, not in 3D in a theater. Right.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right. If, like, I'm going to see it three or four more times. Right. And you
like, Jeff, I'm going on the 8-story IMAX this weekend.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait because I'm going to be
twisted.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Right.
Hopefully they get that Oppenheimer prologue, which we got to talk about Oppenheimer the next episode, because they Christopher Nolan's been saying some shit and they released some pictures from that shit. And I was just like, Oh, this nigga lost his mind making a fucking biopic. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, let me research that. Let me look that shit up. So that second act, not in 3D, not in like a large format setting. I might feel differently, right?
I will say this though. Because I've been watching the trailers, and even watching the trailers on my regular 4K TV, still, like, visually, I'm just like, this is still next level, just because, like you said, like, these motherfuckers have skin, they have pores, they have bags, they have wrinkles, like, animated characters should not have all that. And on top of that, not only do they look better, but the performances across the board are better from the first movie. So like Sam Worthington clearly cares about the craft. And after the first movie, he took the criticisms to heart, became a better actor. And it shows here in this movie, because this motherfucker is emoting to the point where I'm just like, I'm on your side, dude.
And here's the thing. You know how much I despise child actors.
Right.
Not one of the kids, like even the little bitch who kept on getting fucking in the way. I was like, I'm
honestly,
here for it.
She was my favorite character.
Nah, Kitty was my favorite character, man.
The kids are the best characters in the movie. Let's just say that.
Yeah. I hate children in movies, but I was more invested in these kids.
Kids.
than Jake.
Jake
and
Neytiri.
And Neytiri, right?
And we talked about it earlier, where Cameron was like, yeah, there's going to be an argument between Jake and Neytiri from the point of view of a child. I was just like, okay, that's weird. And then you see it in the movie, you're like, this is different in a good way. Like you see, you always see arguments in movies between married couples or people in a relationship. So I thought that was a cool little new way to show an argument between two adults who are now at a standpoint where they have to make a tough decision. Because that's what it is. Right. It's like them arguing over a tough decision. And I get where Neytiri's coming from. But at that point, I was on Jake's side because I'm just like, well, yeah. Because then you guys are jeopardizing literally everything y'all fought for in the first movie.
Right. And let's just talk about how badass Neytiri is in this movie.
Yo, the third act? Lost her fucking mind? I was like, yo.
Like, oh shit, you are all fucking dead. She don't give a fuck.
Bro, because you see them fight with the bow and arrow in the first movie where they take the bow and knock shit out. Right. Bro, when she takes the bow and hits somebody across the face, like, those niggas are dead. Like, they're just laid out after that hit.
Yeah, and that's why I said this is James Cameron had to have blackmailed someone to get this rated PG-13 because the body count in that third act is high.
Yeah. And they're getting killed any and every way possible. Knife, arrow to the chest, bow to the face, guns, explosions. The fucking whales even come in or like, y'all, fuck this. We got y'all.
Yo, when that sub, when the sub started flooding.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, God damn, that's giving me agita.
Bro, can we talk about the design of those subs? The subs are designed as fucking crabs. I was just like. Right. I've never seen some shit like this. They even do that shit in Aquaman.
Right? It's like, I'm telling you, Cameron did a better Wakanda Forever. He did a better Aquaman.
Let's say this. We've got some underwater movies. So there's three big underwater movies, right? There's this, there's Aquaman, and there's Wakanda Forever. And no offense, Ryan, I love you. But out of all three, yours is the worst.
Right. So don't ever ask James Cameron if he would do a comic book movie because he already did. Right.
He
did. He gave you Aquaman.
Like I'm gonna be real with you. Atlantis was cooler than Taku Khan in Wakanda Forever.
Yeah, definitely.
And look, as cool as Atlantis was in Aquaman, that shit don't hold a candle to anything in this motherfucker.
Yo, and the fucking whale. the fucking whale goes. Because
there comes a part in the third act where you're just like, oh, these motherfuckers are fucked and they're gonna die. And then the whale comes in, and that's when I was just like,
Get him.
Man.
This movie has me cheering for a motherfucking whale.
When they were flying, there's that one shot where the whole Water Clan's flying on those fish, those flying fish, And then the whales are jumping in and out of the water as they're flying over. I'm like, what the fuck, man? This shit all looks real. Like, bro, if I went outside and went to Atlantic City and I saw that shit, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? That's how real this shit is.
See, and I think that's what really took me out of my first viewing of the original Avatar, because I could tell as advanced,
it was CG.
Right, as advanced as it was, I could tell it was CG. Here, right. I forget that it's CG.
Because it right? looks so fucking real.
I forgot at parts where like, oh, those things really aren't there.
Yeah. Yeah, like I keep forgetting, like, oh, this is a different planet.
Right, right, right.
Like, honestly, though, I was so, there's parts of this movie where I was so attracted to Kiri. I was like, yo, like, if she was real, I go up to her and be like, yo, yeah, want to go get some, some mangoes and shit like that.
Kiri's the water chick, right? The young water chick.
Oh no! She was good looking too. The water girl, the one dude. I love that shot where she comes out of the water, flips her hair.
Awesome boat Derek shit.
He's just like he's literally drooling, like the drool's falling out of his mouth, and she's just like.
Like seriously, when they're introduced to like the water people, this one Na'vi comes out on some Bo Derek shit, like yeah. like in Perfect 10 shit, like
that shit was hilarious because that nigga, yo, as soon as he saw her, he's just like, oh no, Kiri is the adopted daughter of Jake and Neytiri.
I thought they kept on calling her Kitty. It's Kiri.
No, it's Kiri.
Kiri. Yo, yeah. Because she looks like a young Sigourney Weaver. And that does it for me.
I was just like, you see me walking around with an 8-foot Na'vi. You know why?
Look, this movie has me wanting to fuck fish people and cat people. Like, that's how good the character design is.
Is yeah, not for nothing. No, that Bo Derek Na'vi, she was kind of cute though.
Right, right, right. But like,
that shit was funny though. That dude was whipped. He was hooked. As soon as he saw her come out of the water, like you could just see the drool coming out that nigga's mouth. He's just like, oh. And she's sitting in there giggling, like, hey, I got you.
Oh, fucking Jesus Christ.
She knew what she was doing.
James Cameron has made me discover a fetish I wasn't even aware of.
Yo, furry parties are gonna be wild, man.
Yo, the cosplay fucking is going to be amazing.
Yo, if you guys don't know what furry parties are, Google that shit. Google it on an incognito tab, though.
Yeah, like. There's gonna be a run on blue body paint. Like you won't be able to dress like a Smurf for the next 5 years.
Yeah, man. I cannot say enough about this movie because like I do agree with some people. It is I've only got to see it once. Jeff only got to see it once. We went to different screenings, but like it's overwhelming. Like it is. It's a lot to take in for a first screening. And yeah, I've been digesting this and thinking about it for like, it's been a week now.
Yeah,
it's
he's been digesting it for a week. I just saw it yesterday and I was having dreams about the shit. Right? It is. I knew I was going to be overwhelmed though, right? Like, right. I walked in knowing, like, all right, Cameron's going to show me some shit. And I was not disappointed at all, but I could understand how, you know, a casual audience would be kind of overwhelmed by like the amount of information, I don't mean like information as in like story, just the amount of this like sensory information overload that you were getting.
Look, the first one made goddamn close to $3 billion. And let me just say this. This will probably come close. Like, motherfuckers are going to see this, have their brains blown out the back of their skull and be like, okay, we're going to have to see this shit again. Like, motherfuckers are going to go see this shit like 2-3 times, dog.
I remember hearing stories when the first Avatar came out about, you know, motherfuckers wanting to like to just be the Na'vi, right? They were having withdrawal from leaving the movie just because it was just like it was just such a powerful experience for them, right? Because you know some people are broken. But, you know, like, I'm not going to yuck anyone's yum. But, and I was like, really? This movie? This movie has this much of an impact? I didn't see it for the first one, but the second one, I could totally see motherfuckers losing their minds and just trying to find islands to, like, live on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Which is funny because I just... Over the past couple of days, I binge watch The White Lotus season 1 and season 2. And in season 2, they have a story about an island and a house on an island and how everybody was fighting this old woman for that house. And I'm just like, man, this is why we can't give humans nice shit. Like islands and humans and like exotic places and humans, we don't deserve that shit at all.
Because we always want to put a McDonald's on that shit.
Yeah, or do some dumb shit and just destroy it. Like, I'll be walking on a nice sandy beach and step in a fucking syringe, look over, you see some dude fucking geeked out of his mind.
Right, right. I still gotta watch The White Lotus. I hear nothing but great things about it.
We'll talk about it next episode. But Jeff, you have any other thoughts on Avatar, The Way of Water?
Literally, I could talk about this movie all fucking day. It's intense, and even when it's not intense, it's intense, right? Even the quiet moments and the beautiful moments, they are so impactful and just so well done, right? Like I said, I literally forgot at parts of this that I was watching a movie, because you're not watching a movie, you're experiencing something, right?
Yeah, This is a theme park attraction, and right. I don't mean that in a bad way where I talk about Marvel as theme park attractions where it's like a ride where you're like, wee, and then you forget about it. This is something where it's a theme park attraction because you're literally immersed in this shit. You're part of it.
Right. If Marvel is it's a small world after all, it's a small world, then Avatar is fucking Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, the entire fucking
Magic Kingdom, right? Like, Marvel is a ride. This is the theme park, right?
And think about it. Again, as I started off this review, this is coming from two people who weren't really fans of the first one until this re-release, because what he did here, he did on the re-release. And honestly, watching this movie, I'm like, man, maybe you should have waited another like 10 years before making that first movie.
No, because that means we would have to wait another 20 years for this fucking movie. My only thing is I hope they bring Michelle Rodriguez back.
It'll be interesting because we still got three more, possibly more, because he's like, you know, I just came up with ideas for 6 and 7. And I'm just like, you know, coming out of this one, I'm just like, bro, if this is all you want to do, that's fine by me. Just because, again, it's different.
Right.
It's something different. And I know now Cameron's not going to give us the same thing each movie.
Right. And this, you know, like James Cameron is living the filmmaker's dream, right?
Nigga got carte blanche on his own shit.
Right, carte blanche. This is what Lucas must have felt, you know? Except for, you know, right. So as problematic as Star Wars is fucking as woke as Avatar is, right?
Yeah, because like, these are very much environmentalist movies. And you know what, man? I'm on that side because, like I said, I'm tired of watching people throw shit in the street when I'm like, bro, you walk a few more feet, there's a fucking trash can right there.
Right, right,
right. Like, I want the earth to be around long after I'm gone. You know what I mean? I don't want this shit to like die off. And then what's going to happen?
Man. So we know James Cameron actually listens to this show, right? That's been verified and proven. So, Mr. Cameron, excellent job. And also, I need me some Michelle Rodriguez in 3.
I would like to say, man, also, Cameron, get well soon. You caught COVID recently. That's why he wasn't at the... It's very recently. He caught it, like, over the weekend. I want to say, get well soon. I hope you're on the mend. We can't let that take you out, bro.
Right. No,
we cannot let that take you out. not after we got this shit. Like, look, everybody's been waiting 12 years for this shit. We finally get it. And now... this motherfucking virus is going to come in and take out one of the greats?
Nah.
If Spielberg beat it, you can beat it, my guy. Like, we've come too far now.
Like, it's James Cameron. You know he's got some secret technology that he's been working on in between fucking movies. I mean...
Oh, yeah. You know, now that he got it, I know he's going to, like, harvest his blood and come up with, like, a super vaccine that's just going to eradicate the shit.
Right. Yeah. So he's Cameron's going to be fine. He's going to be fine.
Before we go, again, I love blockbuster cinema. That's what I grew up on. However, as we and Jeff stated recently, blockbuster cinema has just been fucking dog shit lately. But this reminds me that we can and should start taking more risk and reaping the rewards from those risks.
Right? Like, every blockbuster that you grew up with that informed you as a person has been a risk, right? Star Wars was a risk,
right? Indiana Jones was a risk,
right? Avatar was a risk,
Independence Day,
right? Was a risk, right? Like, to some extent, like, you know me, I'm a Michael Bay apologist, right? Like, who?
Bad Boys 2.
Right. Who in their right mind was like, let me give this fucking music video / commercial director a fucking some money to do an action film?
With two black dudes,
right? Like, who? Like, that's a fucking risk. Like, well, Will Smith wasn't Will Smith at that point. Right.
I mean, he was known as the Fresh Prince. Had the fucking rap career and the TV show, but he wasn't Will Smith.
Right. This is what, like, taking that risk made him Will Smith.
Right.
Right. So, like,
even Armageddon's a risk. That was one of the most expensive movies at the time.
Right. And I still fucking, like, look, I'll go toe-to-toe. I fucks
with Armageddon hard, dog.
Fuck, you fuck with Criterion, right? I fuck with the Criterion edition of Armageddon. Let me ask you something.
Do you think I don't own that?
Oh, I know you do, but like I say, I don't own Criterion editions, right? Like, I own this Criterion edition, right?
Criterion, we need that 4K of the Armageddon and The Rock. We need both of those in 4K. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And while you're at it, you know what I mean? Put Bad Boys 2 out in Criterion.
Yeah, let's do it. Like, I you know what I really want in Criterion? A Long Kiss Goodnight.
I would like that. I would like the 4-hour cut of Jesse James. I would like the alternate cut of The Fountain that Darren Aronofsky wants in Criterion.
Yeah, let's just fucking do it. Do it. Because, like, at this point, you're the only one making DVDs. You're the only one making Blu-rays. So, like you got, like, let's put your foot in it.
And as we'll get into in the next episode, please keep buying physical media, because
yeah, we got some news for you. go right now. Go to Best Buy or wherever you order or buy your physical media. Buy your favorite shit, because this is getting wacky out here in this world.
Oh, yeah. And even that shit's not guaranteed, because at any time they'll be like, oh, let's put that out of production.
Right, right. So, like, get it now. It's a fire sale. It's the world's falling apart, but at least we got Avatar.
please review and rate us on Apple Podcasts 5 stars so we could be pushed up. Follow us on Instagram at Film Blurreds. Follow us on TikTok at Film Blurreds. Follow us on Twitter at Film Blurreds.
Tell all your friends about us. Tell like fucking send the links out. Like do your part.
Yeah. So that was a very special episode of the Film Blurreds, episode 68.
All right, we're out of here. We hope you go see this movie.
Like, yeah, man. Yo, listen, I want all the Avatar sequels, okay?
Right.
I don't want to see, like, if we phased out, let me make one more point. Two more points. If we phased out Marvel and DC for this shit, I would be doing backflips right now. Like, I'd throw a fucking parade and just throw out, I would rob a bank and then be like Robin Hood and just throw out the money because I'd lose my fucking mind just because I'd be like, finally, finally, we're going to start taking some fucking risk.
Right.
And so, go ahead. Make your point.
Go ahead. I'll let you get to.
Two, to all you naysayers who over the past 3 months online who are like, Avatar didn't have any cultural impact. Nobody remembers it. Yada, yada, yada. Who asked for this? I'm just like, I mean, it's a $2 billion grosser for a reason. And now y'all motherfuckers look stupid. Utterly fucking stupid.
I hate when people say who asked for this because, who asked for you? Right? Like the condom broke or your dad's pullout game was weak. Like, but who asked for you, nigga? Like, so like you're still here. You still have a right to exist, even though maybe you shouldn't. Like,
yo, no one. Go ahead.
Avatar has brought me more joy than your dumb ass. Right? So like so who asked for you, dude? Get the fuck out of here.
Nolan, when I go see this shit again this weekend, yo, the fucking Oppenheimer preview better be in 70mm when I go to this 8-story IMAX, or else me and you, we're going to have some words, bro.
Yo, this has been episode 68 of the Film Blurreds. Go watch this fucking movie.
3D. Dolby 3D. IMAX 3D. Everything. High frame rate 3D. See this motherfucker in 3D. Fuck you.
Peace.
We're the Film Blurreds. I'm Brandon Norwood, and I'm the motherfucking protagonist.
I'm the protagonist.
I'm Jeff Stewart, a.k.a. He Who Remains.
Don't come at us. It's just fucking movies.
You've been listening to the Film Blurreds podcast.
Man, I just love what you guys do, man.
I never miss an episode. It's the best.
It's my favorite podcast.
Follow Jeff on IG on MindfireXL and Brandon on Twitter at BJNTweets.